We continue in our exposition. Oh my God, the scripture doctrine of regeneration, which entails eternal justification, eternal sanctification, eternal. I love eternal. I love eternity. Because it never ends. Hallelujah. And to know that all things concerning our welfare was actualized in Him. That in the manifestation of time, we're moving through, but we're not, amen, we're not handcuffed or held prisoner by the things that are transpiring down here in the annals of time. Amen. For time is for manifestation only.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This thing is already done. You hear me this morning? This thing is already done.
Ready.
Complete.
Yes.
Amen. You're not on your way to nothing.
Nothing.
Hallelujah. Before you were ever manifested in the flesh, God established you in the body of Christ. Amen. And this is why we don't stand to try to judge anyone. Amen. We don't even try to operate as a fruit inspector. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Pastor Paul never saw him condemn anyone, and even those that vehemently fought against him and did all kind of things. He never said they were unsaved. The young man that was going with his father's wife, and I just leave it like that. That's what the scripture said. Amen. Some said stepmother, some said it was his mother. I when the scriptures speak, we speak. When the scriptures silent, we're silent. But he did not say he wasn't saved.
He did.
Sure. Alexander the Coppersmith, he said that he did me much harm, and the Lord reward him for his works. But he never said he wasn't saved.
He did.
And those that fought him. Amen. He spoke of being fighting with beasts at Ephesus. Even some of those that stoned him and tried to kill him. Paul never, once he got this knowledge and information about the essence of God actualizing by decree his elect in eternity, he was never again influenced by the things that went down in time. Now,
glory.
you can condemn the act, but you don't condemn the, you detach the person from the act.
Amen.
Condemn the act, but don't condemn the person with the act.
Yes.
Detach the person from the act.
Amen.
Amen. Huh?
Hallelujah.
Because sometimes that you say, well, you don't know what they did. Look back. We have very short memories.
Yes.
Some things we've done. And some things that we do, amen. And so we have to basically look
amen.
To the Word of God, and we have to take each one upon their testimony, and then some that may not testify, amen. We can't write them off either. Now I'm saying all this because this morning we're going to move now full steam ahead. Taken weeks to preference certain things as far as semantics and terminology, so that when we speak about regeneration, we'll know and understand what is the conveyance is, and what does it mean to be regenerated, or what does that entail? Is that some act of eternity, or is that some act of time? Is that some condition of eternity? There's void of time, which the answer to that would be no. But on the other hand, is it some act, something that is acted in time, that is void of the eternal workings of God. Amen. Hopefully, as we move forward, we'll be able to see and understand that the things that have transpired in eternity is the actualization and it forms the essence and basis of what we are. What you are, you were. You were because you are because you were.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you were in eternity before you ever are in time. And so whatever is being, amen, whatever is being exhibited in time cannot negate what God has done in eternity.
Glory.
So our focus has got to be on eternity. Amen. Ellen Lieberman is our designated reader this morning. Let's go. Now we can move full steam ahead now. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. And Elder, we'll just read the entire thing. Not the entire thing, but I do want you to go all the way down today through verse 8, 1 through 8. And in conjunction to that, we are probably going to touch, we're always fighting the clock. We'll go back and touch briefly on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, again, prefacing the fact that the act of regeneration is in eternity. You got to place the enactment of your salvation in eternity, not in time. In time, you can debate about how it's done and when it was done and all of that. In eternity, amen. First of all, when you take it out of time and you place it into eternity, you clear the deck and the trouble of having to debate with someone as to what caused it and who caused it. When does it happen and how it happens? And you know, some say, well, you got to do this to be saved. You got to do that to be saved. So, well, you got to, you know, depend upon the denomination. You got to go through their little creeds of what they have supposedly gleaned, erroneously using the scripture, mostly jumping outside of dispensations, and coming up with all type of prescriptions for being saved. Amen. You don't have to sit down and debate with anybody as how to do what has already been done. It's done in eternity. Amen. So whatever is going on right now, amen, it cannot negate, it cannot make null and void what God predeterminedly did, actualize, amen, complete in Him. And before you were ever manifested in these bodies, God placed you into the body of Christ before the creation of the world. And we must understand these things.
Hallelujah. Yes.
To understand this, we have just come out of the conference, and I hope and pray by now that many things have been cleared up in the mindsets of those who came to the conference. First of all, being saved and salvation is of God. Mm-hmm. Justification is an imminent, and consequently, it is an internal act. And this serves as verification that you cannot consider it to be transient. It's not a transient occurrence. Somebody said, well, I've been saved 27 years. Well, what you're really saying is that 27 years ago, God gave you the illumination of what He did for you in eternity. Amen. Also, the elect whereby were considered and viewed in Christ from everlasting. God did not in His decree consider us as being saved in progressive stage. Remember one of the characteristics of eternity is there is no sequences. So it's no progressively saved. Amen. And I know that they teach, and we shall deal with this somewhere down the line, that you are, and this is the way they put it, to say, you are saved, you are now saved from the curse and penalty of the sin. Say you are currently being saved from the power of sin. And you will in the future be saved from the presence of sin. Amen. And we took that thing, we ran with it. Amen. You are in the body of Christ now. Because eternity hasn't gone anywhere. My God. Time is a creation. We are in the capsule of time. Amen. But time is a creation. And so time dwells as a created element in the essence of eternity, where God is. And God placed you in the body of Christ in eternity, amen, as actualized in his decree. The fact that you are living in time daily, amen, is the essence of God manifestly giving a testimony of what he has already accomplished for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So, as we come to understand this,
yes,
we do not look at regeneration in progressive stages,
mm-hmm,
but as a composite unit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We don't look at Christ and his church in election,
mm-hmm,
as something that he planned in eternity and then is to be executed in time. And I know that's what it is taught. Amen. But God viewed his elect in Christ, amen, as objects of justification, of those being made righteous and sanctified in him, amen, and that is the designation of being elect. This is the basis of the doctrine that the elect were blessed with all spiritual blessings, in Christ before the creation of the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, what? With all spiritual blessings. Where? Where is the locale? In the heavenlies. And where are the heavenlies? In Christ. Amen. And here we are speaking in the eternal sphere of God's workings. So this grace and this justification, and Paul speaks of spiritual blessings. He's speaking of the Asians. Justification, sanctification, propitiation.
Yes,
amen. Yes, and what we are focusing on in this discourse, regeneration. This is a spiritual blessing.
Yes.
And it's all by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
This grace by which we were justified and was the basis of Christ's eternal work. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And from eternity, God loved us, and he made us then, not now, then acceptable to him.
Glory.
Those who have been made acceptable to him in eternity cannot be made unacceptable to him because of the acts of depraved nature. Now, we don't take this and run with it and go down the road and say, we just let it all hang out. And Paul said, oh, no. I said, you don't understand grace.
That's it.
He said, shall we sin no more that grace shall abound?
Mm-hmm.
I said, God forbid. That's in the King James. The Greek, the expression is a Greek grammatical expression, is meianito, which is to say crazy, nuts, ridiculous. I mean, any term that you want.
Uh-huh.
it's, said, what Thomas said is absurd.
Yes.
This knowledge is not given for you to do wrong. This knowledge is given for you to do right. It's for motivation. You don't need any motivation to do wrong. Just be your old depraved self, and you will do it. But you need motivation, sir, to do the will of Him who will call you out of darkness into this marvelous light.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so when Christ, as a surety, engaged for His elect, we were justified, we were sanctified at that time, in which He became the surety. At which point, I shouldn't say time, at which point our sins were imputed to Him, and we're only speaking in anthropomorphic term and terminology, and we were absolved from guilt and reputed justified in eternity. This is what we're saying. Amen. God eternally, listen to me, He eternally decreed not to punish sin in His elect. That was not the purpose of God creating evil, was to condemn His elect. So when God created it, and we just come out of that, the doctrine of theodicy, it wouldn't be around. It simply means opposition to God. Did God create opposition? Wouldn't have been in opposition if God hadn't created opposition. Amen. But He did not create it for the purpose of punishing His elect because of it. Amen. Nor was it His purpose to impute it to us. Amen. And we were, designed as justified one, free from condemnation. And this is why, Paul writes, there is therefore now. Everybody said now. Everybody said now. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I know that's not what they're preaching and teaching. Hallelujah. They're giving you a scorecard. Amen. But you see, it's a fraudulent document because there are only two scores you could possibly make, and that's 0 and 100. I guarantee you, you'll never make 100.
Never. Numbers.
Now listen to this.
Glory.
Christ's reconciliation, or reconciling us, is to bring us back to the essence of what we were formerly in Christ Jesus. He did this by bearing our sins. This was the purpose of God from eternity. It is already done. Amen. Even as we read the Old Testament, we should read it from the vantage point of the knowledge that is given in our gospel.
Yes.
And therefore, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, go down the line. All of them, none of them ever stood in jeopardy of being rejected by God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
David committed adultery and murder. But he never stood in jeopardy of being rejected by God.
Glory to God.
Yeah. I said, Pastor, don't preach that. Mm-hmm. When you preach that, you're giving the people a license to sin. You need a license to fish. You need a license to hunt.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
You need a license to get married.
Come on.
You don't need a license to sin. Amen. When the praying creatures breathe and move and have their being, they sin. Therefore, it may be concluded that you were saved, you were justified, you were regenerated from everlasting, because God, in the beginning, had the propitiation of Christ, the Lamb of God, that
wash away the sins of his elect, the Lamb of God will stay in eternity.
It was manifested 2,000 years ago on Calvary, but it was actualized by God's decree in eternity. Amen. And that's where it lies. So when we look at 1 Corinthians 6:11, I'll turn to it. We've been through this. Just want to hit it to preface it. Some of you were these, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. Amen. Here we have indicative errors. We have past completed facts. Amen. That in eternity, these things were already accomplished for you. Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. When you have this knowledge, it should make you, my God, it should just make you love the Lord. You say, I really love the Lord. Many of us, when we say, I love the Lord, we think about Him feeding us and healing our body. And amen, we thank God for these things. But all beyond that, amen, in the eternal realm, my God, God, amen, showed forth His love. Amen. And that He created, my God, the body of Christ. Amen. And then designed you specifically to be placed in it. Woo!
Glory to God. Glory.
Now, let's turn. Let's go down. Let's go into Titus. I want you to read that entire thing this morning. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. One of these days, maybe y'all let me preach a couple of hours. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Read.
English
translation. Start with the King James. Everybody don't have the Greek Bibles yet, but at some point, hopefully, amen. But do it the King James in a way, because some may be listening to the message, amen, and they only have a King James. Read the King James first, then we'll go to the Greek text. All right, everybody got Titus chapter 3, verse 1, say amen. All right, read.
Titus chapter 3, verse, we'll begin with the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men.
None of us have done all of that. Now, come on. Amen. You've already failed the test. Zero. All right, keep reading.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy.
According to His mercy,
He saved us.
How?
By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Verse 8.
This is a faithful saying, that these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men.
All right, now we're going to go to the Greek, but as we do this, here Paul prefaces why this information is available. Amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. And in the process of God, how He works, the workings that He has foreordained into our lives, and His methodology is through the conveyance of these truths. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. They are internalized into our mindsets and our thinking, and God uses them to cause us to do what is good. That's how it works. All right, everybody that has a Greek Bible, Elder, I just want you to read, starting at verse 5 through verse 8, amen, in Titus Read slowly. Amen. Because see what we're going to do now, we're going to basically go into the eternal realm, see the workings of God, see the purpose of God, amen, and see, amen, that you are not, amen, in the driver's seat doing anything.
Amen.
It's not what you're doing. It is that which is being done to you. All right. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Now, those who do not have a Greek Bible, amen, I do have one upstairs for anyone that care to purchase it. The interlinear, the one that we have endorsed that we use. Amen. Those that have it, I want you to turn to Titus 3 and 5. Elder, I want you to read that slowly and meticulously as we walk through it. All right? And those who do not have the Greek Bible, I want you to listen intently. Read it slowly for those that don't have it. All right? Read.
Titus 3, 5, Greek translation.
Mm-hmm.
Not by works in righteousness, which did we,
mm-hmm.
but according to the of him mercy, he saved us through washing of regeneration.
Through washing regeneration. Remember now again, we said here you have a double genitive and the word lutro is translated washing. That is a noun. Amen. So you have washing
of
generation
and renewal spirit.
Again, double genitive, renewal, Holy Spirit. Renewal spirit, Holy Spirit. Renewal spirit, read.
Holy, which he shed on us richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us.
Now here the verb there as a clean is he shed on us. That is an indicative aorist. That is a past completed action. He's not in the process of shedding on us. Oh my God, it is a past completed fact that in eternity he shed on us richly. How did he do it?
Through Jesus Christ,
uh-huh.
the Savior of us.
Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Keep reading.
In order that
mm-hmm.
being justified by the of that one grace,
uh-huh.
heirs, we might become.
Now again, the Greek verb there, yadithomen, that is an aorist subjunctive.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When you look into the King James, it says we should become. If you should do something, it doesn't mean that you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It means you should do it. But this is you all follow me now. You just can't, don't throw the aorist tense away.
Yeah.
Amen. We might become is the subjunctive mood. It is a probability, but the fact that it has happened, you have a past completed probability. In eternity, it is done. In time, it is only probable because, as Paul speaks, he doesn't know who the heir of God is. And you don't either, except you know that you're saved. I know I'm saved. I believe you're saved, but I don't know you're saved.
Uh-huh.
You can believe I'm saved, so, oh, you know, Pastor, I know. No, you can't. No, you don't know.
Amen.
But I can testify to you that I am saved. Because the Spirit of God has testified to me, just like the Spirit of God has testified to you that you are his elect.
Amen. Amen.
And so we don't have to argue about heirship, who's going to make it in. Who's saved.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Old Testament, David said, if the Lord regarded iniquity, who would make it?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If God was keeping a scorecard on you, oh my God. Some denominations, they hand out scorecards.
Oh, Hammer. Hammer.
You ever gone into a test, a quiz, a test, an exam, and you know you didn't know? That's an eerie feeling. To live from day to day, knowing that there's a test out there that you're supposed to be able to pass, and you know you can't pass it.
No way. No way.
That's not the way God has instituted salvation.
It's not.
You've got to take salvation out of time.
Yes.
Regeneration did not occur and does not occur in time. It occurred in eternity.
Yes.
Finish reading that, Elmer.
We might become according to a hope of life eternal.
See that, oh my God, that's the word eternal there. Keep reading.
Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Faithful is the word.
Faithful the word.
Faithful.
Everybody said faithful.
Faithful.
Now whose faithfulness are we talking about?
God.
It's got to be. Can't be yours. And we're going to deal with this in about 2 or 3 weeks. We're taught that we are saved by the faith that we exercise in Christ. And of course, amen, you everywhere that is written, you have the genitive of possession.
Mm-hmm.
They say, as they take the word of out and put in there. And they tell you it's faith in Christ. No, it's not. It's faith of Christ.
Of
faithfulness of Christ.
Glory.
And you have the genitive of possession there. Amen. Loudly screaming at you, telling you that this faith belongs to Christ. Christ owns this faith of this faithfulness. It is his faithfulness we're saved by, not our own.
Glory to God.
Finish that up.
Faith for the word.
Mm-hmm.
And as to these things, I wish thee to affirm confidently.
To affirm confidently.
In order that.
Mm-hmm.
May take thought of good works,
mm-hmm,
to maintain the having believed God.
All right. There's a purpose there. There's a purpose there. He said, our firmness, and we have the Greek word ina there, which is translated that or in all of that, which exudes purpose. What is the purpose of him giving you this information? You don't need it to be saved. Amen. What's the purpose of God giving you this information? He's giving you this information because this is his process of you growing and maturing in him. Amen. So the purpose of it is not for salvation, but the purpose of it is for maturation.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Your growth and development.
Yes, Lord.
That's the purpose.
Amen.
Now, we had done a lot of prefacing, and last week we spoke about what is not, as this word, amen, polyenesios is used also in Matthew 19:28. Don't turn to it. In this sense, it was talking about, amen, the reorder of the earth. Amen. Again, the same word, polyenesios, is derived from Pauline, which means again, and Unesi, which means birth. So it simply means again birth, not new birth, again birth. Mm. There's a difference between again and new. Yeah. New, you haven't been there before.
Right.
Again, you're returning.
Glory to God.
But they switched that thing around because when you say again, it induces an inquiry as to what you're returning to. And some have said we're returning to Adam, no good. Because if we go back to Adam, what's going to stop us from doing again what Adam did? Right. Amen. But 1 Corinthians 15 said that the first man was of the earth, that's Adam. But the second man is the Lord from above, that's Christ.
Yeah.
So we're not going back to Adam, we're going back to Christ,
Lord.
Who we were, who we always are, who we are now, in the essence of eternity, in manifestation. We shall go back to that which we already are and where and what God made us first.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. God made it first. Glory to God.
Now I know this goes against the grain. What so-called orthodox teaches us. You're told that you're on your way to heaven.
Uh-huh.
And if you stumble, you might not get there. All the bumps and roads.
Uh-huh.
And this is why we have songs like climbing up the rough side of the mountain trying to get in. Pray for me that I make it in. If I can just make it in. Amen. Huh? Hallelujah. And but again birth. Again birth. And in Matthew 19:28, it's again birth of the earth. He is speaking about, amen, it being returned to its original order.
Yeah.
In Titus, which Elder has just read, it is strictly in the spiritual sphere. In Matthew 19:28, it is in the physical sphere, speaking of earth. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it's in the spiritual sphere, speaking of the essence of what you were done, what you were made in him in eternity. Now, Titus, follow me now. Give me about 10 minutes. Amen. And I know we've gone through a long conference. I'm not going to hold you. Amen. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 states, not of works of righteousness which we ourselves have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He saved us through washing, regeneration, and renewal, Holy Spirit. Note, as we look at this word regeneration, the difference between our Lord's use of it in the kingdom gospel, as stated in Matthew 19:28, and the Apostle Paul's use of it in the gospel of grace, which is obviously expressing contrasting spheres. Note now, our Lord used it in his earthly sense in the restoration of all things at his second advent to the earth, while Paul used it in referring to the again birth, regeneration of those previously elected and placed in Christ. And that is the body of Christ before the creation of the world. That's what you're returning to.
Glory to God.
But you're only returning to it from the viewpoint that you have been encapsulated encapsulated in the prayed flesh and placed, amen, in time, in creation. Amen.
Glory.
At the point of God's appointed time, he takes us out of time, and when he takes us out of time, manifested wise, amen, and revelation wise, he takes us, and that's what the again is. It means you're going back to what he did first. Again. Follow me. Here, regeneration is expressive. Wake up and hear me now. Regeneration is expressive of God's first order before the creation of the world. You see, we got this thing all messed up. We think that creation comes first, and then salvation occurs within creation. We got it backwards. We got the cart before the horse. Amen. It's regeneration first, before creation. In other words, he saved you before he ever created and made you.
Glory. Yes. Amen. Yes.
That's what the again is about.
Glory.
So it's again birth. And I know what the commentaries say. Go, let the text do the talking. Let the grammar guide you. And in this case, again means again. So he made you his elect, and he placed you in the body of Christ in eternity first. As a son of God. Heir of God. And we won't get to it today, amen. But we're going to go in and exegete, amen, verse 7 there. What is, Paul, what are you talking about? What do you mean? What do you mean when you say being made heirs of God? Amen. What are you talking about? What has God done? And when did he do it? That's the question. That's the question. Again, hear me. Regeneration is expressive of God's first order before the creation of the world, which superseded his new order of the earth. In the historical manifestation of time. I think I repeat that. Regeneration, as it is expressive of our position in Christ, was God's first order before the creation of the world. It supersedes the order of the earth in the historical manifestation of time. This first order, of which we return to and is referred to as again birth, or before birth, is the church. Again, the first order, the first creation. And we're only speaking in anthropomorphic terms because there are no sequences in eternity. But the first thing that we must understand is that he made the church. But you know what he did? The body of Christ was hidden until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. I defy you anywhere in the scripture to come up with the body of Christ before it is revealed to Paul. And then Paul testifies that this was hid from ages and generations until God revealed it to him. The most glorious of all his creations, that when God gets ready to point to the greatest of all of his accomplishments, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, when he shows the manifold wisdom of God, what does he point to? The church. The body of Christ. Oh, we make the body of Christ of no avail. And no wonder God's people, when they look to praise God, They focus on food to eat.
Yes, that's it.
And shoes on my feet. and clothes on my back, and a roof on my head.
Yeah.
And of course, all these things are important. But even more than this,
hallelujah, yes,
God has eternally positioned you
yes.
in Him. A reserved place in Him where you're currently abiding. We must understand this, otherwise we mix the new man up with the old man. And that's a constant problem. And we don't think too much of the new man because we assign the deeds of the old man to the new man. We've been taught that when you do some act, either depending upon the denominational requirements, when you do some physical act, your classification change and you are new in Christ. The new man is in the eternal spiritual sphere. The old man is in the is in the flesh.
Yes, he is. Amen.
And we've been taught that because you did some act, you have become the new man in the flesh. We have songs about look at my hand was new. Look at my feet were too. And you know, those hands, if they got calluses on them, that's the flesh. It's the same. Same old feet. Same old rusty feet. Same old tongue that's capable of lying. And backbiting.
Oh,
you all looking at me funny.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Same old tongue that's capable of cussing somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I'm saved. I wouldn't do that. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Same old crooked and evil ways.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the difference? The difference is in Christ before the foundation of the world, He chose you and elect you and place you in the body of Christ. Now God has processes, and this is what Paul was talking about here with the works, and I'm going to have to cut it off. Oh my God. And he speaks of good works.
Yes.
And in Ephesians 2:10, he speaks of the fact that you are His doings. Created to do, God's methodology. But when that's happening, the Holy Spirit, God has overruled the workings of your depraved flesh and caused you to identify with the new man. But it doesn't happen every day, does it? Oh, you know you do. You know it doesn't.
Amen.
I've seen people say, yesterday I felt pretty good. Today I don't feel like I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I heard a mother one night, this was some years ago. Amen. She got up. This was when I was small. She got up and said, "Saints, holiness is right even if nobody lives it." I said, "Uh-huh." Holiness is not what you live. Holiness is what Christ in you lives through you.
Yes.
Because your righteousness is not your own.
Amen.
It is imputed and given unto you. So when we look at the writings in Ephesians in chapter 1, they are all exclusively in the eternal realm. This is why so many, they don't fool around in the first chapter of Ephesians. You don't find many people preaching in the first chapter of Ephesians. First chapter of Colossians. No, you don't. Because that's not something you can eat. You can't take it to the bank. You can't wear it on your back. You can't touch it, and taste it, and smell it. And because of that, they don't fool with it. And we're going to start there next week. But it was in the eternal sphere before creation and time. And when you place it there, there's no argument about participative efforts of mankind. None of that is applicable as far as God's first order, because it is impossible. And hence, in verse 5, when it says, it is not our works of righteousness that we have done ourselves, that is stated in the sense that such is an impossibility. Not from the end, not only from the end that man can't do it, but from the end that man wasn't around to even try to do it. In Ephesians 2 and 9, when it says, not out of works, lest any man should boast, it is said it more in the sense that such did not occur because man doesn't have the capacity to do it, but it is more in the sense that man wasn't around to even attempt to do it. So the above induction then compares that regeneration may be defined as a close, as an act of God in eternity, whereby he bestowed upon his elect his own life, which was inclusive of the imparting of his own nature through some position in us in Christ. God himself is the source. God himself is the bestower of his life. He is the one who has caused us to abide in the body of Christ. And in time, he is the one who has caused us to believe that we can testify, amen, that we are created in Christ Jesus according to Ephesians 2:10. A new creation according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And even corroboratively, born of God in John 1:13. Oh my God, born again in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 7. Yes. Amen. And even in the kingdom gospel, Apostle Peter, 2 Peter 1 and 4, amen, speaks of us having been partakers of the divine nature.
Glory.
Amen. And so Paul has given all this information. Amen. You will be inspired to do right.
Yes.
Amen. But when you see yourself, amen, aligning with the word of God, amen, don't pat yourself on the back.
No.
Don't become a hypocrite. Don't begin to look out at the other fella, amen, and think you're better than him. But knowing and understanding through the word, as a son of all people, when you see me walking right,
yes,
God's using me.
Yes. Yes.
When you see me talking right, God using me. And then when the flesh, amen, is manifested doing his thing, amen, you're not satisfied with the flesh. You can sing the other song that the old people used to sing of, search me. Can you say, search me? Search me, Lord. Turn the four lights of heaven upon my soul. And with the, I know the song says, if, when you find things, oh my God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Everybody say win.
Win. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
When what?
When you find
the flesh raving, when you find the things that are against you, when you find the things that are in opposition to you, take them out. Can you say, take them out? Can you say, take them out? Amen. Why? Because I want to be right.
Yes.
I want to identify you.
Glory.
Now that I see this, I'm not using it for an excuse. Amen. To say I'll go out and do anything. But, amen, it's inspired me, Lord. I see the glory and the beauty of holiness. I see the glory and beauty of your righteousness. I see the glory and beauty of your attributes. And I want to be like you.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Finally, saints used to sing the song, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.
Glory
on earth. Right now.
Yes.
I long. To be like him. All through life journey. From earth to glory. I long. I know I'm not there. Amen. I know that the flesh can't get there. Amen. But I know that he who is in me is greater. Can you say greater?
Greater.
Can you say greater?
Greater?
He's greater than he who is in the world. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think, because I want to do the right thing, not the real thing, because I know in whom I have believed and I'm persuaded that he's able. Can you say able? Can you say
Abraham?
To keep me from falling. And to preserve me blameless. Based upon what? Based upon the fact that it's already done. Amen. And I know that there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. And Paul names a litany of things.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. He even speaks about death. What you gonna do about death? Amen. But he said, I'm persuaded that nothing shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. How do you know, Paul? Because I have come to the revelation and understanding that he did it first. He did it before. Amen. And the fact that he did it before means he did it in eternity. And in eternity, one of the characteristics of eternity is immutability, which means it cannot be changed. And I say to you, regardless of the situation of my life, I'm on my way back. God bless you.